Of Oxford. So my name is Peter Robinson. I work for the Learning Technologies Group, managed by Melissa Hyten. And we've been spending the last year working with our friends and partners at these two other universities to look at open education release in higher education and see what we can learn from each other about making things available for reuse for teaching and learning. So the buzzwords are open educational resources, and we've been very lucky that the government over the last 2 or 3 years has been making a little bit of money available for people to change their teaching resources and make them available publicly. And the project that started this for us was Open Spires, which is finished about a year ago in Oxford. So we spent, through the year that the project ran, we tried to leverage the enormous success at Oxford University that we'd had in making our audio-video talks available through a new service called iTunes U, which Apple started a few years ago. And so we had this wonderful success where we suddenly stepped up a gear where we were producing a lot more content and making it available in a global portal. And we said, well, it would be really nice to actually make this fully open educational material and change some of the legal things that are going on with it so that it can genuinely be used by any other institution, any other educational place, without having to worry about copyright issues or contacting people or getting permissions. So these people here are some of the people who got involved in the early days and said, yeah, that's fine, we'll put some of our material up. So Peter Milliken from philosophy, Emma from English, continuing education and law, medical ethics, and some more stuff from English. So it was a big success, Open Spires, and I'm just going to show you a quick little bit of video that just shows you the type of things available. So that's just a flavour of the things that we produced in the first year, and it's been a success so that we now know a year later, without any kind of project staff particularly working on this, we've moved from over 300 items released to 782 items. And what's a bit more interesting for me is there was 140 academics who signed a bit of legal paperwork saying, yeah, fine, let's make it open education, Creative Commons. And since then, when we did the look at the figures, it's around about 400 today. So that's 400 people who, in some way, shape or form, even if it's a very small way, have signed a piece of paper that says, I'm happy with this material being used in education worldwide. So that's a lot of people. A good percentage of those people are visiting researchers who come to Oxford and give talks. So today's really about thinking about some stories from people who've got involved, trying to think about how we might make it all sustainable long-term if there's not a lot of money, staff support, how we can change processes and embed some of the legal stuff. And we're going to hear a few stories from people in a few seconds. So just to look back at Ripple. So Ripple, we did Open Spires, and then we managed to get some more money to work with our friends and neighbours to look at the issues of institutional change. What things might we actually do in an institution to actually allow people to say, yes, I'm happy with that material being publicly available, and to try and disseminate some of the outcomes that we've got, and to help our partners release a small amount of open educational material themselves. So not changing the world necessarily, just moving forward and getting a little bit more buy-in across an institution. And we think it's gone very well, and we've made a lot of resources available through our workshops. The type of resources we've made available, we've put a lot of presentations up about IPR and publishing workflow. So that was our very first workshop we did, was it September, October? And it was perhaps a bit scary. We started off with IPR, which, looking back, we maybe should have had something slightly different. But we also looked at the fact if you're going to make open educational stuff available, it's no good just doing the stuff and then putting it somewhere obscure in a site on your university VLE or something. You've really got to try and put it somewhere publicly because you want it to be discovered and used by other people. And we get these lovely emails from students who find our stuff at Oxford, and they say how nice it was to find out these talks and things. But it needs to be publicly available. Then we went quite serious on the third workshop. We got a few big guns in, and they talked about building the big business case, why an institution might want to actually go down this route. You know, it might be about being a global university, it might be reaching new students, it might be protecting some vulnerable subjects, it might be just straightforward marketing or innovation, you know, just saying that you do good stuff at your own university. And we had a great talk from Dave White saying it's not just about broadcasting things out, it's about conversation. When you're putting stuff out publicly, you're starting a conversation with students who might be coming to your university. And then we had a great workshop, probably my favourite at Brooks, and Richard talked a little bit in that start of the workshop about kind of levels of openness that maybe you start with in your department making some stuff available, and then obviously it might be the whole faculty might want to use that material, and then afterwards it goes out towards some neighbouring universities, and there's this kind of levels of openness, and it's really about kind of building relationships with everybody. So all these resources are available on our website. We've got some other projects that we've been involved in. So Lisa and Pat are running a great project involved with the politics subject community, making a lot of material from politics and trying to see how that fits with the subject community. And Carl and Rowan have been running some projects looking at impact. So getting some statistics, some qualitative stuff, some quantitative reports saying how does this actually change things, who's listening, how many people are involved, what's the impact of it. So we've got some good stuff there with loads of resources. So that's me doing a quick rush through what we've been up to. I kind of hoped to give you a flavour of all the activities we're involved in, and hopes it's raised some questions.